And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
Would someone please step up and get this planetary thing headed in the right direction? Please? At times, it feels like humanity's midlife crisis, old enough to know better, and young enough to want to hold on to our youth. But this is getting old, and we seem to be heading into a vortex of unknowing. Today, we're heading into the Matrix, mixing wonder and worry, people and plunder, with the hope that we dust off the light to see the road ahead. When your voice of the earth continues, here on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
From my perspective, there's just way too much happening on the planet. Everybody is in everybody's business, and that was always a recipe for disaster. The old too many cooks spoiling the stew sure holds here. Trouble is, we are the ingredients in the stew we call right now. The trouble is that the ancient visionaries who wrote about the future were right. Jules Verne and Captain Nemo and his atomic-powered self-sustaining submarine that roamed 20,000 leagues under the sea and tried to stop the destruction of the planet by greedy lords and masters by ramming and sinking ships to get their attention. What about on the beach, when threats of nuclear exchange turn hot, leaving only a handful of humanity wondering what it means? The question of today, will North Korea launch their missile? Will they have nuclear weapons? And what about Iran and their desires? It brings a whole new meaning to the term nuclear family. Well, everyone knows that families are rough, and maybe that's the point. With 24/7 news bringing us the latest visions of death, madness, and mayhem, it gets hard to really feel good about our future. The peacemakers keep losing. So who reads Gandhi, or King, or Kennedy, or Lenin, John Lennon, that is? We just may be reaching critical mass, destruction. And then we hear the great news, and we've got some exciting good things to report, like some recent discoveries of magic little creatures that assure us we hardly know this Earth, and the news that the president has created the largest marine reserve on Earth. We all need to pray now that there is absolutely nothing of value there, like oil or some exotic mineral, just a bunch of miraculous sea life and beauty. And oceans are in the news from another's perspective. Today, following the news, we bring you up to date on the events in St. Kitts, where whaling is back on the table, literally. In our second segment, we talk about the weather with one of America's favorite weather guys, who's tracked tornadoes, hunkered down in hurricanes, and gives his perspective on global warming. Then in segment 3, one of the first real outcomes of the right-leaning Supreme Court pretty much validates what many of us who value the living systems have worried about as they begin to dissect the waterways literally and legally. It's all coming up. It's a great show looming. So let's forge ahead with the news. So now, the news. The International Whaling Commission, the IWC, meeting in St. Kitts in the Caribbean, strongly urged oil companies and nations to reconsider the use of high-intensity sonic devices to locate underwater oil reserves, as research is proving that the damage to marine creatures is often dramatic. At the same meeting, following the lead by Japan and Norway, the IWC managed to craft a 33-32 vote to remove the ban on whaling that has been in place for 20 years. Although the vote will not remove the ban, which requires a three-quarters vote of its members, this first-ever majority indicates a challenge to what has been a relatively worldwide effort to stop whaling, which have decimated whale populations around the world. We'll be looking into this story more during today's show. The Supreme Court ruled 5-4 to overturn a lower court's decision, which put a stop to two development projects on private lands, as the lower courts determined that the projects violated the 1972 Clean Water Act. The court's decision, following liberal and conservative divisions of the justices, effectively opens up the prospect of many future cases over similar interpretations. We will be going in-depth on this topic in our third segment. The Bush administration approved requests from three eastern governors to bar commercial logging in remote sections of national forests in the states of North Carolina, South Carolina, and Washington. The administration used the sanctions of these grants to make the case that they have always been green, just unrecognized. The three governors requested that the roadless status of their forests be protected under the 2001 rules initiated under the Clinton administration. Many environmentalists believe a more significant test of the administration's green spirit may occur if and when requests for roadless protections come from lumber-rich states. Scientists were regaling the discovery of three new lemur species in the wilds of Madagascar. These tiny primates, which are early relatives of we humans... Psst! Notice the little hands on the picture on the website. Exist only in Madagascar, which is home to 70 lemur species. The poverty-stricken nation is struggling to set up protections to safeguard at least some of the extraordinary diversity of species. The government has committed to tripling the amount of protected space to 6 million hectares in an attempt to refashion its future based on ecotourism. President Bush this week announced the creation of the world's largest marine preserve, embracing the northwestern Hawaiian Islands. The reserve, which protects 140,000 square miles, is an area the size of California and is home to more than 7,000 marine species, many of which are found only in these waters. The area is also home to millions of seabirds and endangered animals, including the monk seal, one of the world's most rare sea mammals. The area, designated as a national monument, provides even greater protection than would be available under the marine sanctuary protections. Some are regaling this as the first imprint by the new Treasury Secretary, who moved over from his position directing Goldman Sachs, and who is a strong environmentalist, having served as president of the Nature Conservancy. And speaking of conservancy, Norway announced that it is establishing the world's largest seed bank, deep inside a heavily fortified and protected 70-meter tunnel. The seed bank will hold 1.5 billion seeds and 3 million varieties and is set up as protection to plant forms on Earth should environmental or astronomical disasters such as meteor strikes or other phenomenon destroy portions of the genetic diversity. The location was chosen both for its remoteness, which protects it against unwanted intrusions, and because it maintains a relatively constant temperature of minus 0.4 degrees Fahrenheit, the perfect incubator for long-term holding. Therefore, for those keeping score, Norway this week has one on the positive side for the seed bank and one on the negative side for its whale whacking. Come on, Norway, you can do better. And that's the news. A few reminders. Noticed anything different about the Wild Side News webpage? We just did a facelift of our webpage and hope you like your new Voice of the Earth portal. It's like any place you've lived in for a while. It gets a bit cluttered and stuff starts piling up in the corners. Well, we took it all away and have a brand new brand. You can now more easily do a quick search of topics like saving the planet or parks or recreation, and yet the good old archives are still there. Take a fresh look around. I'll bet you'll see a lot of things that will get your attention. And please, now that we've tidied up a bit, invite your friends in for a visit. Thanks. Whales. One of the things I've come to know is that all the creatures in my world are out there looking to communicate, to show off, to play, to be important, and live as long as they can. Those little lemurs we talked about, here they are, not having seen a scientist before, and they're just hanging out, curled up comfortably on a finger, smiling and wonder, hey, what's next? Or my cockatiel, or the neighbor's cat who walks along the edges, or your dog, or even the rabbit nibbling on your new vegetable shoots. This is our Eden. But whales, mammoth mammals, gentle creatures, swimming in schools of friends, caring for the children, singing across the seas, leaping free and grand. They're smart. Go to SeaWorld and talk with one of the swimmers who stand on their nose and get projected high into the air for all to see. In 1986, the world agreed that humans had to stop killing these creatures, not only because we were about to wipe them from the history books of wonder, but also because maybe they had a right to be. And so the International Whaling Commission, the IWC, banned the killing of whales, and since then, the whales have managed to sustain. Thank God. But Japanese have eaten whale as part of their culture. Many thank the whale for being one of the few food sources following the devastation of the atomic bomb blasts of World War II. So, they ate more whale than before. And that old guard developed a taste for whale. And despite the fact that the IWC provided an allowance for scientific research on whales, Japan had a hunger for whale. And so they boosted their research to kill upwards of 1,000 whales a year. And their hunger for knowledge fed their hunger for whale. And to this day, in restaurants around Japan and in markets, whales are diced and flinced into edible chunks and turned into soup and fried blubber. It's an industry, they say, this research. And so in the name of science, Japan this week harpooned the hopes of the human spirit by dealing out big scoops of money and promises to nations like Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, who really don't hunt whales, but nevertheless voted with Japan and Norway and Greenland to reopen whaling. And they set a landmark, squeezing out a one-vote majority in St. Kitts this week to lift the ban. And though it requires a three-quarter majority vote to overturn the ban, the politics of plunder will be working their unseen sinews to tie up the votes in the years ahead. It's that old midlife crisis lurking. Humanity, feeling clearly that the spirit of whales is too big to sink with exploding harpoons, and yet somehow we keep losing. Humanity does. Who speaks for us? How do we speak? That just may be the decision we face as we determine what we want for the rest of life on Earth. Chart your course, set your sails, festoon yourself with the weapons of the caring warrior, and fight for life. One of Japan's leading whale specialist restaurants is called Tarayuchi. Tarayuchi. Its legendary owner, Takashi Sato, had this to say about our cause. Whale is a traditional Japanese food and is part of the Japanese culture. Who cares what the anti-whaling lobby may have to say? But those are the facts. Mr. Sato, I'm not an anti-whaling advocate. I'm a friend of the whale. Stop killing my friends. I leave you with a song by one of the finest voices of the earth, who sang tribute to the grace and wonder of whales, Eliza Gilkison. Waves of the ocean forgive our grief.
one will ever need. But still we're so blind. Will this be our fate? When we come to understand, oh, creatures unseen land, before it's too late. Shadows and footprints mirror the movements of moon and tide. Magnificent families glide perfectly calm, nurturing children. Hands, they're part of a perfect plan, and brother to man.